The epistle for the first Sunday in Lent, or of Lent, is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Ghost, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. And then the gospel. It's taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, He will give his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, It is written further, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said to him, All these things will I give to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today, the first Sunday of Lent, used to be the first day of Lent, before they extended it to the Ash Wednesday. But the Epistle and Gospel of this Lent reminding us of the virtues we need to practice. We must conduct ourselves always as the ministers of God, St. Paul says in the Epistle. We're being encouraged to become saints during the Septuagesima season, that this is the purpose of the liturgical year with regard to my own personal soul. And now we begin the work that we've been preparing for from Septuagesima season. Now we are arrived in the season of Lent. We are preparing to our wills to become saints and to try to improve in our spiritual life this year. And the time to make that improvement is this season of Lent. So let's all be sure that we've made a resolution of some kind, that we're going to offer up something for this season of Lent, and to try our best to fulfill the fast, those that are between the ages of 18 and 59, and then all those to try to fulfill the fast as best that we can. There's health reasons, and we don't worry about that. There's many other things that we can do, but we need to offer up something for this season of Lent, to offer some kind of penance in order to strengthen the will so that it will be stronger to become more pleasing to God. A couple of other notes before going on. And that is that today is a very sad day in my life because it's the last day that I get to have my little beard. Father Scott says I have to shave it off. So I'm going to have to actually go back to shaving, and that's a nuisance. But in any case, that's where we stand. So it's a very sad day in my life. I'm presently switching from the white cassock back to the black, and now I no longer understand why people wear black cassocks, but I'm getting back into it. And then to getting rid of the beard so that I can shave and get back to the real world, so to speak. And so Father Scott says it's time, so sometime in the not too distant future it'll happen. So in any case, so that's one thing. Another is that I mentioned 2 weeks ago in the little talk that we had here, the little presentation after Mass 2 weeks ago, that we were in, of course, difficult financial straits, and that we were striving to finish the building of this church, and that one of the minor goals, the temporary goals, was to have kneelers, and you can see that they're beneath you now, and then to have kneelers prepared, but that it would cost $800 in wood to be able to do that. And when you came up with the St. Blaise blessing, I asked that on the way back that you give a little donation, and that if there wasn't enough, that I would pay the difference myself. Well, it so happens that from that small donation, from after the St. Blaise blessing at the end of the Mass and at the end of the little talk, we raised over $5,000. And so you gave over $5,000 just at that time. And so you showed a great generosity. And $5,864 came just from that collection alone, not including the normal collection of Mass and so on. Then there was also a gift of $25,000 towards the window and so on, to be put into the building fund. And so altogether on that Sunday, we raised over $30,000 to help us continue the work of finishing St. Isidore's. And that's 10% of the way to the $300,000 that we need to finish the work and to be able to get the plans ready for the school and the rectory. And that was on the first day. And so we were very generous, and thank you very much. And we've been to be able to give that for the glory of God. And again, as you said before, this church is a miracle. It was said when we started this work that it was absolutely impossible, that it could not be done. We were too small of a parish, and we didn't have the money, and we didn't have the means to be able to build a church like unto this and to be able to continue, do this work. And it didn't seem as though it was that possible 3 years ago. But nonetheless, God has blessed us, and moving forward with faith, it has been accomplished. But we are not finished. We still have more work to do. And I'd like to thank you for your generosity from 2 weeks ago. And so and we need to persevere and continue, but again, appreciated your generosity, and so we need to persevere. And the next step, of course, your generosity of time will be the next test with regard to that bazaar that we're going to do in the early summer. We need 100 volunteers. You said we were going to do that, and we'll get the 100 volunteers from you, and confident in that. And again, appreciate your return and your generosity, not only at this time, but throughout the whole project, the whole work. Also, a note here taken from the Catechism of the Council of Trent today. This catechism will be the catechism that we use for the catechism class at the end of Mass for the next year or so. I don't know how long it'll take to go through this. Probably a while. But the Catechism of the Council of Trent was first published in 1566 at the end of the council, shortly after the end of that council. And it's the first authoritative catechism of the church. It was designed originally for pastors in order to teach the catechism to their flock. But it is also at this time, with the availability of the printing press being much more than it was back then, even though it was existent, but it wasn't as widespread. Now you can get your hands on the Catechism of the Council of Trent, and you should do so. I have it now. We have a few of them in the bookstore. You should get your hands on that. We're going to use that for the catechism class, for the catechism classes as the basis of the catechism classes for the future. The catechism classes will be after Mass. Today, after Mass, we have the before the catechism. It'll be about 20 minutes, 25 minutes after class will be the catechism class. So we have time to get your donuts or whatever and then come back in for the catechism. But before the catechism today, we're going to have the enrollment of the Holy Name Society. So the new members of the Holy Name Society and also the old members will come up to the front after the Mass. So immediately after Mass, I'll do the recessional. And as soon as the recessional is complete, it'll come right back out for the ceremony of the induction of the new members and the renewal of the old members of the Holy Name Society. And there may be some of you that didn't tell Dave that, or myself, that you were ready to enter the Holy Name Society. But if you are ready, then you do simply come forward for the ceremony today, even if you may not have remembered to give your name and your address and so on to Mr. Chekas. So just simply come forward, those who wish to join the Holy Name Society, and at the end of the Mass, and then we'll have the ceremony. Those of you who over the past several years have been in the Holy Name Society, but who did not actually become formally inducted into the Holy Name Society, you also will come forward as if new members so that we can solemnly introduce you into the Society. And so that even though you've been with the Society for several years, and then as well as the newcomers to the Society, of the Holy Name Society. And so, of course, the choir members and the leaders in the parish are, those leaders are expected to be a member of the organization. So those involved in any task of authority in the church should be members of the organization. So if you're not, you should come forward. Since you're already doing work for the parish, just simply to sanctify that, and that particularly to bless the Holy Name, and your works become sanctified. Even though you will be doing the same work for the good of the church, this work becomes blessed by the prayers of the Holy Name Society, so they become more holy, these works, the same works that you do. And so more graces can be attained by doing work for the parish and for the church, by being a member of the Holy Name Society, than by not being a member. And so please come forward and join the men of the parish. So a consideration here on the importance of catechism, taken from this Catechism of the Council of Trent, Roman Catechism. On the importance of catechism. It says here in the beginning of this catechism, the reminder, in fact, it goes through, and some of the commentaries mention, even though they didn't intend it to be a sermon for this day, they mention the gospel of today, and that Lucifer tempts our Lord Jesus Christ to the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three temptations. The temptation of the flesh to turn the stone into bread. The temptation of the world to stand on the pinnacle, to be given the whole world if he will fall down and adore, if he will only fall down and adore him. And then the temptation of the devil, given all these things. I mean, the requirement to adore the devil. These three temptations are backed up by scripture references and theological reasons why Jesus Christ should follow the world. The devil gives theological reasons why Jesus Christ should follow the world. He gives reasons of faith why he should follow the flesh. And he gives reasons of faith why he should follow the devil. Devil himself uses theology, uses faith, in order to deceive Jesus Christ. Now, because Jesus Christ is God, and because he knows his faith that he is the author of, he is not deceived. But the authors and the importance of the catechism tell us, note that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the example. We must know our faith in order to be able to defend ourselves against the devil. We have to know our faith. And St. Pius X, in the early part of the last century, said that the primary cause of the spread of evil and error throughout the world is not heretics or heresiarchs who start new heresies, but rather it is ignorant Catholics. Catholics who do not know their faith are easily deceived. At all times, it was of the utmost importance for Catholics to know their faith and to know it well. But in former times, when the whole world was Catholic, we can say that it was to a certain extent less important, because they were reminders of the faith, not only in the stained glass windows in a church, but there were reminders of the faith in the laws of the countries during the Middle Ages, as is pointed out in the beginning of this catechism. In the Middle Ages, the laws of countries upheld the faith. Kings upheld the faith. Churchmen upheld the faith. Heads of guilds and heads of organizations involved in the workplace, they upheld the faith. And though all were sinners, they knew what was right and told others to do what was right. In our day and age, in every single respect. Whatever the teaching of Jesus Christ is, it is denied. You are told by the modern world, you are responsible when you practice birth control, and you do not have all the children that God sends you. Whereas our church tells you that this is a mortal sin and that you're going to go to hell for all eternity. The world tells us that all the teachings of the faith are wrong. Every religion is okay. You don't have to really adore Jesus Christ. And the roles, even the natural roles, the common sense natural roles of a man as the head of the household, as a woman as the heart of that household, and the mother of that household, even these things are denied, even in the natural order. And they are said to make sense. And these perverse lies are spread in our schools. They are spread on television. They are spread in the radio. They are spread in the workplace. Perverse lies contrary to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our Holy Mother, the Church. It is necessary, most necessary, at this time, more than at any other time, to have a study and a knowledge of our faith and our catechism, so that when the deceivers come to us and try to get us to believe false beliefs, things that are against common sense, things that are against the gospel. It is even said in our modern age, not only by the liberals, but now even by conservatives. Abortion, for instance, in order to save the life of the mother, well, then it's fine to murder the baby. Most of the time, I think it's wrong to murder babies, but once in a while, in a special instance, it's fine to murder a baby. That's what I think. And so, conservatives approve of abortion, but only sometimes. And the same thing applies at all other levels. Homosexuality used to be really bad. Now it's just a little bad. After all, they're nice people. And so, we change slowly with our times. Bishop Sheen says, the prime example of this change, of this mediocrity in belief and action, is Samson in the Old Testament. He was told that he was a Nazarite. And as a Nazarite, he was vowed to chastity. And yet he found himself with Delilah. And he was vowed to keep the secret, the sacred promise between him and God. He did not keep secret that sacred promise. He did not maintain that chastity. And it says after the third time that Delilah deceived him and his hair was cut, he went outside. Samson went outside and he said, and he shook himself and he said it would go away as it did before. And then sacred scripture tells us he did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't know it. He thought that he was still the Nazarite. He thought that he was still as strong as he ever was. He did not know that the Lord had left him. Slowly, one step at a time, he'd walked away from the law of God. And he still believed he was a Nazarite. He still believed he was the consecrated of God. He still believed he had the strength to fight. And he was overcome. And his eyes were put out. Because he did not know the Lord had left him. This is how our faith is lost. We slowly begin to not believe this, and then not believe that, and then not believe this other thing, and to be less firm in our faith, and we believe that we're still faithful Catholics. And the next thing you know, we find that the Lord has left us. We find that we agree with in every respect with the modern world and disagree in every respect with our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching of His Church and His popes. and we do not know that the Lord has left us. There is a warning at the beginning of this catechism on the importance of the study of the faith. Three reasons are given in the beginning of the catechism. Why do we study the catechism? And why does the Council of Trent, after the coming of Protestantism, an error in the Catholic Church that came at that time, emphasize so much the importance of the catechism? And here are three reasons are given as to the purpose of religious education. Let us proceed to develop the detail on the various parts of this summary of doctrine. Our purpose requires that we premise the few observations that the pastor should consider and bear in mind in order to know to what end or what purpose all his plans and labors and efforts are to be directed, and how this desired end may be more easily attained by the instruction of the faithful. The first purpose of the study of the catechism, knowledge of Christ. Why do we study? The first thing is ever to recollect that all Christian knowledge is reduced to one single head, or rather to the use of the words of his apostle in the Gospel of St. John chapter 17. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In the end, we know only one thing, Jesus Christ, the only true God. And in knowing this, we know all things, for he is the Word. And in knowing the Word, we know his faith, those 12 articles of the Creed. In knowing the Word, we know his moral doctrine, those 10 commandments. In knowing the Word, we know his sacraments that he gave to his church. And in fact, in heaven, we know all things through the Word, even natural knowledge, because one day he said, let there be light, and that is why there is light. All things can be known through the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word is God, and the Word is Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is one object of our knowledge, though it seems that we study many things, and the one object is Jesus Christ. He is the object. So the first purpose of the study of the catechism, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The second purpose, which flows from it, and all the other things flow from it, is the observance of the commandments. We need to live the life according to Jesus Christ. It is not enough that we know him, but we need to live according to him. It is by this that we know that we have known him, if we keep his commandments. And that from the Epistle of St. John, the first epistle, chapter 2. And to walk even as he walked, justice, godliness, faith, charity, patience, mildness, he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself an acceptable people, a pursuer of good works, that we are going to be pursuers of good works. And that is from St. Paul's Epistle to Titus, chapter 2. If we're going to keep his commandments, we need to know what they are. Keep them before our minds. And this means the study of the catechism. And then the third thing is the love of God. And with regard to this love of God, the end of this study of the catechism is charity. Charity is the end of the commandment and the fulfillment of the law, says St. John. So these are the three purposes of catechism and why it is so important. So I'm going to encourage you to go to the catechism instructions at the end of Mass each Sunday to participate in them. And then I'll just close it at that. And then the ashes of Ash Wednesday. We have the ashes. You have them, right? So then after the Mass, we will do the administration of the ashes to those that have not received it. And so it'll be at the end of the Mass. Before the recessional, and then the choir can sing the recessional while I'm giving the ashes, I'll give the ashes while the choir is singing the recessional, and then immediately after the ashes we'll do the Holy Name entrance ceremony, and then a brief catechism, a shorter catechism than usual, and so we'll close it at that. And God bless you all, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.